All right, we've got just a few moments now. If you open your Bible to John chapter 8, we just want to look quickly at a story here that is such a wonderful, wonderful story. We'll begin reading in chapter 8 and verse 1, and as you're turning, let's just have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the kindness of this church to my wife and I throughout all these years, of their support and their prayers for us. Lord, we appreciate it very much. And I know, Lord, that all of the people who have been saved throughout these years appreciate what this church has done to enable a missionary to carry the gospel to them. And Lord, I just pray that you'll help all of us faithful to serve you, faithful to give until our Lord Jesus. And Lord, may you bless now as we just look these few moments at this wonderful story in the script. I pray, Lord, that all of us will get a renewed appreciation for your grace. And should there be a person here, Lord, who's never accepted Jesus, may they realize their need. In John chapter 8, we read, Jesus went, verse 1, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. Isn't it interesting that we find our Lord Jesus teaching, taking the time? This is God Almighty, the Creator. Our Creator is taking time to teach people, to have a relationship with people. And we know that that relationship takes an eternal step when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because then God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, comes to dwell within us. And Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so he's in us and the relationship that he has with us. But here we find him teaching. In verse number 3, it says, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they'd set her in the midst. Now, when I read that verse, many times when I read through the stories in the New Testament, and I use the word stories, not implying that they're just some story like a storybook, but they're true stories. And this is an event that actually happened. And when I read them, I try to read and then think of what the people are feeling in those particular moments. And here you'll read that they caught this woman, and she was in adultery with someone who we don't know, because they didn't have the courtesy to bring the man. They're just accusing this woman. And as I read this, I imagine that they brought her in and they thrust her down before him. She sits down there before him in the midst of this group who were there listening to him as he was teaching them in the temple. Verse 4 says, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Can you imagine the shame that this young woman, the embarrassment that she must feel at this moment? Now, Jesus was not an unknown. People knew who he was. They had heard of Jesus because the city was in such an uproar. Everywhere he went, why, people were being healed. People had been raised from the dead. I mean, this, he wasn't just someone, you know, that no one knew anything about. So chances are this woman probably had heard of the Lord Jesus. And so I imagine her, after she's thrown down there and sat in front of him, that she is in shame, not even wanting to look at him. Verse 5 says, now Moses in the law, and this is the Pharisees continuing their talking to the Lord Jesus. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? And John tells us in verse 6 that they said that this they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse. Moses in the law commanded that any person who was taken in adultery should be stoned. Aren't you thankful that we don't live under the law today? Probably, maybe some of us wouldn't even be here. We'd have been stoned long ago. And rightfully so, Moses' law did say that. The law is hard. The law gives no mercy. I remember one time when I was a young boy, I was on the way to church. I played the piano for our church, and I was on the way to church, and I had left home a bit late, and I was going to be late to church, and if the piano player is late for church, what's going to happen? I mean, the whole service is going to be thrown in an uproar, you know, we're singing, what are we supposed to do? And so I was speaking. Now, what kind of testimony? And so I got pulled over by a police. He said, you know you're speeding in a 25-mile-an-hour zone. I said, yes, sir, I know that, but I'm the piano player for my church, and I'm late for church. Now, that was I'm looking back now. I mean, what kind of testimony was that for a Christian, you know? But at least I didn't lie. I told him the truth, and he gave me a ticket. Matter of fact, he said, and he wrote off that ticket, and I went back. You know, I didn't tell him at church, but I told my mom and dad, and I said, you know what? I'm not going to pay this. I'm going to go to court, and I'm going to tell that judge. That's what I'm going to do. Because I was just trying to get to church to play the piano. It wasn't because, you know, I'm just going out to the store or something. This is important. And so I went to court, and I remember setting out, you know, and we were on this bench, and every time someone went in, it's like you move over one. And you're looking how many is left. Okay, I got four left. Then it becomes three. Then it becomes two. Then it becomes one. Then I'm the next one. Now I'm not so sure about telling off the judge. Now, what am I going to do here, you know? Because the law, and so they called my name, and all this, you know, macho brave guy telling my folks, I'm going to tell that judge, and I'm going to do this. The judge read out the charge. You were caught speeding in a 25-mile-an-hour zone. You've broken the law. How do you plead? Well, what can you say? Guilty. Pay the fine. And then it's a greater fine because you have early pay. And if you wait after that, now you got court costs. I learned a lesson that the law doesn't show mercy. There's no grace about the law. That's why God wrote the law, gave to Moses, and it was in stone. Because the law doesn't change. Matter of fact, you remember when Moses came down from the mountain, what happened? All those people were down there, and almost all, not all of them, but almost all the laws that had been given by God to Moses that day that he was carrying on those two tablets, they had broken them already, and he hadn't even... Now right there, my friends, is a good lesson to learn that even without the law, we are guilty in sin. God did give the law to Moses. It did make the command that such should be stoned. There is no mercy with the law. But you see, the Pharisees lived by a code of obeying the law, and they were self-righteous. And they thought, by everything I'm doing, if anyone's going to heaven, we are. And they missed the point that the law was not given as a code to live by, but rather given, as Paul says, a schoolmaster to teach you that you're a sinner and that you are going to face the penalty of your sins. God says in the Old Testament, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. That was what God told Adam in the garden. If you eat of that tree, the day you eat of it, you will surely die. He did die. His spirit died, cast out of the garden, separation from God, and now sin began its evil work within the heart of man. You see, it's not how many sins you commit that make you a sinner. We are sinners by birth. And God is now giving us a story here to help us realize the difference. The law, the hardness of, and the grace of Jesus Christ. Look with me quickly as we get through this. Our time is almost finished. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger he wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone. For you see, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:17. The Lord Jesus came. Now granted, we know the end of the book. He's going to come back riding on a white horse dressed for judgment. But at this time, he's here as Savior. And he came to open the doors to God's grace. And thank God he did. Why, he that is without sin among you, who is the great judge of the world? Only God Almighty. And so what Jesus is saying to these men is, the person who is here with you right now who has no sin, let him cast the stone. He was talking about his very self, God, sinless Son of God. And then he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard that conviction, As I read this story, I would think that these guys probably even came with either a bag or rocks in their hand, and they're ready to start, you know, this self-righteous judgment of this. And so they were convicted, verse 9, by their own conscience, and they went out one by one. As I read that, I imagine them with those stones and begin dropping, you know, making their way out, get out of this place, because God Almighty is convicting them. You know, I remember when I was in school, and I wasn't invited to all the parties. And at first it began to bother me. And then I began to realize, well, hey, I know. Because I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And the Holy Spirit in me, if I go into that place, He begins convicting. And that, you see, is what happens. When we've accepted Christ as our Savior, God Almighty is a Christian. A true born-again Christian can go into a place and not even say anything, and people are already feeling uneasy because he's doing his work to convict of sin. Well, they all left, says, beginning at the eldest, even into the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing. You see, that's what it's going to be when every person, you alone, before your Creator. Now you can either be standing before your Savior because you've accepted Jesus as your Savior and the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from all your sin, or you can stand before the great white throne of God with no Savior. This woman was standing before the Lord, and it says, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And isn't this wonderful? Now this is God. This is God. Well, is God breaking the law here? No. He's offering grace, which through Christ our Savior, through the ultimate perfect sacrifice, because the perfect life of Jesus Christ paying the price for sin. What was the price for sin? Death. And he paid it for every one of us. And because of that, God offered grace. He says, neither do I condemn thee. Go. A life this day. I was driving up here and I was listening to a fellow on the radio. And as I was listening to him, I was thinking, you know what? A lot of people who accept Jesus as their Savior. And I told my wife about this singer. I don't know if you heard it in the news. I don't know anything about her. All I know in the news was they said, and then yesterday they had to go into her home. She OD'd on heroin. They gave her that drug to bring her out of it. But for six, and I had a fellow who's involved in prison ministries tell me that 6 years is the magic number. If someone can make it 6 years, you have a very good chance. And so she made it to that point. But then she went back and took the drugs. And I was thinking, what would... And the only thing I could think of in my mind, I don't know if that young lady is saved or not, but she never left her old friends. She never left the old life. She's just, I'm going to make it, and I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And my friend, that doesn't work. And I thought, okay, now how could I explain that to the deaf people who I'm working with? And I thought, you know what, to put a few in amongst a whole thing of mud. And then I'm standing there and I've got my shoes all nicely clean, because over there they like to have really clean shoes, shine them up. And so I'm going to go through this mud. Now, I could walk around that way, but I want to go this way because it's kind of shorter for me. And so I begin walking on the rocks, and I'm going to make my way through and trying to balance my way through. And pretty soon, because of that, I lose my balance and I get my feet dirty. Now I got to go through the whole process of cleaning my shoe again, washing them up, when I could have went around the other way. Don't even go that way. Well, there are some rocks there, and if I just step on those, you know, I have a few good, maybe some good friends. I think they go to church on at Easter and Christmas. My friend, if you want a life that's going to be consistent for God, go and sin. Get with people. I always tell this to our folks at church. Get with people who will pull you up, not be constantly trying to pull you down. You see, here were the Pharisees, and with their judgmental attitude and self-righteousness, they're going to pull down that woman, and they're going to put her in the midst, and Moses says in the law, we ought to just stone her and get it over with. Jesus offers grace. Well, you know that's the same. And I imagine if you're saved, it's the same thing he did to you. Listen, there ain't none of us walking around with suits and ties on who inside are perfect people. We are all sinners, and the devil fights us every day. That's why it's good to have good Christian friends that you can go to when you're having a hard time. Someone you can talk to. Turn on the radio and start listening to some good preacher. That's what we need, because the devil is constantly working to pull us away from what God wants for us. Peter wrote in one of his epistles, he said that it just popped out of my mind. I hate when that happens. God is not unwilling that any should perish, but that all should come to repent. It's God's desire that people, and once we accept Jesus as our Savior, Jesus has told us, now we go. Don't sin anymore. Be a witness for God. Live for Jesus. And then the same grace that God has shown to us, let us show it others. I look at a church as like being a hospital. It's where we come, and those things that we're struggling with in our life, right here is our medicine. And God uses this, and we get what we need, and then we can go another few days until it's Sunday. And then we get some more. Then we go another few days till it's Wednesday again. And that's just how we carry on in our life. What's wrong with that? And you know what? We end up with a lot less when we're walking with them. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to look at your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that even though the law does say that I, as a sinner, must go to hell, must spend eternity in a place of fire and torment, you offered your and mercy. Father, I thank you. Lord, there might be a person here who's never accepted Jesus. I pray that they would come to Christ tonight. For those of us who are already saved, be about the business of sharing that grace and mercy. Are dejected, hopeless, and just have no guidance. All right, are you going to sing a song tonight? So as we sing a song, a stand, and if you have a need tonight, maybe something the Holy Spirit's convicted your heart about, you're welcome to come pray. If you need to be saved, come on up to the front, and we'll be happy to talk to you tonight.